Bahalotka, in your making, when you go up or when you kindle. The heart of this parasha, this portion, I truly believe is the menorah. The menorah is a very, very important item. The menorah is one of the most familiar symbols of Israel and one of the most ancient. The seven-branch menorah is the symbol of the nation of Israel today. It's on their coins. It's on many things of theirs. It is also a recalling, the menorah is a recalling of the bush that burned but was not consumed. The light of the menorah was to never be permanently extinguished. I ask myself, why is the menorah so emphasized in the Torah? As it has been said, as I shine the light on Israel, making them stand out among the nations, let them shine a light on me, he says. We don't see any visible form of God today. Only when the Hebrews live by the values of the Torah do they embody what Yah stands for and make Yahweh manifest in the world. Joshua 24:14-15. Now therefore fear the Lord, fear Yahweh, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Mitzrayim. Serve Yahweh. If it seems evil to you to serve Yahweh, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river. You know, every time he's talking about that, maybe he's saying yourself. Serve yourself, or the gods of the Amorites who land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And he stated this after battle, after battle, after battle, after battle. He shed so much blood in accordance to what God said to do. He was in a lot of victorious situations because of Yahweh. He knew who to serve. This was a man who was in many, many battles. For Yahweh and him you serve. Believers are a covenant people. Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another? By profaning the covenant of the fathers. Ephesians 4:6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Numbers 8 talks about the age 50 where the Levites were commanded to cease doing the work of the tabernacle. Hebrews were commanded to keep the Passover also in this portion. For this is a reenactment of remind us of his glory and power and deliverance from Mitzrayim. Numbers 9:6-12. Now there were certain men who were defiled by human corpses, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. I love this part. And they came before Moshe and Aaron, said that day. And those men said to him, we became defiled by human corpses. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its time among the children of Israel? And Moshe said to them, stand still that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Then the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, he may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning or break one of its bones. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. Do you notice here it's more important to keep it than on which day you do it? He's also showing a lot of mercy. These guys were coming back from battle. They touched dead corpses. They had blood on their hands. They couldn't just move right in. The Torah said, no, you have to go and be cleansed. You have to have a time of separation. So they went. They were observant to that, and he said, here's some mercy. You can come a month later and do it. God is a God of mercy. You shall have one ordinance. Numbers 9:14. You shall have one ordinance, mishpat, for the stranger and the native born. So throw all those teachings that are out there, that are on the internet and everywhere, saying, okay, now this group over here has to do all of this, but these second-class believers over here that can't prove their citizenship, now they only have to do four things. One ordinance for all his people. One ordinance. One teaching. This word, mishpat, when you look at this, you shall have one ordinance. Numbers 9:14. And a stranger that dwells among you would keep the Lord's Passover. Every stranger, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover, according to his ceremony. You shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and the native of the land. You shall have one, according to the definition, you shall have one stipulation for the stranger and the native born. You shall have one judgment for the stranger and the native born. You shall have one manner for the stranger and the native born. You shall have one ordinance for the stranger and the native born. You shall have one custom for the stranger and the native born. You shall have one discretion. This is all definitions of mishpat. You shall have one fashion. You shall have one procedure. You shall have one decision. You shall have one right. You shall have one privilege for the stranger and the native born. For there to be echad, there to be one. If they're not, they're out of sync with the laws of the universe. Exodus 12:49. One law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Leviticus 24:22. You shall have the same law for the stranger and for the one from your own country, for I am Yahweh your Elohim. Numbers 15:15. One ordinance shall be for you of the assembly and for the strangers who dwells with you. An ordinance forever throughout your generations, forever throughout your generations, as you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. Has our chemical makeup in our bodies changed since then?
No.
Neither has his word. We can't keep it all. That's his mercy. He comes in. He just explained to those guys that we got dirtied up in battle. He has mercy for us. He wants our interest in him. Ezekiel 37:15. And again, the word of the Lord came and he says, for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Jehudah, for Yahudah, and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Yosef, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the houses of Israel and his companions. Then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, and they will become one in your hand. Man don't like that. Religion doesn't like that. We can't have that. And they fight it. They fight it and they take it to the grave. People take it to the grave, the misconception that he's allowed to go forth. Ezekiel 37:22-24. And I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and in one king shall be king over them. They shall no longer be two nations. What does that mean? That means the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom's descendants are going to come together as one. Very simple. They will become one. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned. I will cleanse them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Okay, one teaching for one people, made up of many, coming together. Joseph's coat of many colors. Leviticus 19:34. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So far to this day, all this is being violated. Hosea 1:10 through 11. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sands of the sea, that's today, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass, in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. Praise Yahweh. Then the children of Yehudah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. We really need to pray not only for the full restoration of the house of Israel, we need to pray for our brothers Judah. Because God put it in them to latch onto that little sliver of land over there that everybody's fighting over. He put it in them to take it over for themselves. He put that in them so that they would hold it. He put that mindset in them. You're all that's left. Hang on to the land. Hang on to the Temple Mount. Hang on to the Torah. The rest of the story is Ephraim's coming back. See, in God's world is opposite from man's world, as we have found out through Scripture. It's a 180 from what we were taught. So here's this little tiny bitty sliver of land over there in Israel that everybody's praying for, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them hard. At the same time, we need to pray for the rest of the tribes, too. Because they all make up one nation of Israel. Little be known, the great and mighty powers to be of man say, well, we need to split up Jerusalem. We need to do this. We need to do that. We're gods. You know, with their little wreaths on their heads and their robes and their much talking. They don't realize that when the real nation of Israel rises up, it's going to be the biggest nation on the planet. They don't know this. They think it's going to stay that little tiny little sliver of land, and we're going to make it smaller, and we want to annihilate the Jews. But the truth is simple. We are the descendants of those who were dispersed. They didn't make the planet. God's going to raise them up and bring them back together. And they're going to have the power the sons of Jacob had once before in the scroll of Asher. They're going to have the power. I will restore to my people, to the people, a pure language. Wonder what that'll be. Zephaniah 3:9. For then I will restore to the people a pure language, that they may call on the name of Yahweh to serve him with one accord. That they may serve him with one accord. But it appears there is more to one wanting to learn or read Hebrew than the ancient dialogue. Perhaps this is an ancient calling to the blood. Because I've never seen anywhere in my life people anywhere that young man talked about, you know, what hit him when he saw the fullness of the word, the fullness of the people, the love of the people here. When he saw this, it was calling to his blood. So blood cries out, and the blood listens. And the blood carries generational curses, and the blood carries Yeshua. So we have to really think about what's going on inside our bodies that we think we own. We have to be very, very concerned. I found this piece, this one little piece. I've gone over this and gone over this, and I never saw it until I read it here. And this is proof. This is proof that he is going to take Israel out of the nations. Ezekiel 37:18-21. And when the children of your people speak to you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says Yahweh your Elohim, surely I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribe of Israel and his companions, and I will join them with the stick of Jehuda and make them one in my hand. 37:18-21. And the sticks on which you will write will be in your hands before their eyes. And then say to them, thus says the Lord, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations. He comes right out and says it. There was 12 brothers, 12 tribes. They all got dispersed. They split in 722 BC. They were dispersed. They split before that. They were dispersed. The northern tribes in 722 BC. The southern kingdom, Judah, was scattered in 586. Then they were scattered again in 70 AD. And he's going to pull them all back together in one kingdom, not one religion. I do say this a lot because it is opposed a lot. Yahweh is trying and doing it today. Sadly, many will not see this truth and take the deception to the grave. Now the Hanukkah, and you're back to the menorah, the one that we have on Hanukkah is 8. 8 is new beginnings. The menorah, 7 branches. It's completion. You have completion and perfection. And then Yeshua was conceived in the Festival of Lights. We proved that in scripture a while back. I had a teaching on it. So we have completion, which leads to the manifestation of Yeshua, which is number 8, the 8 branch on here, which is Him manifested. New beginnings. Number 7 is perfection and completion. Number 8 is new beginnings. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it on a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. See, the menorah is not only a symbol of Yahweh, it's a symbol of us. It's a symbol of the tribes, it's a symbol of the nation of Israel, and it's a symbol of the light, the order. Romans 11:18. Do not boast against the branches. Now keep the menorah in mind here. Remember, it's got branches coming off and the one center post. Who's the center post? Yeshua? Do not boast against the branches, but if you boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. That's the menorah. It's the way it's designed. It's got one centerpiece that supports the other branches. The lights of the menorah are also symbolic of us bearing fruit. The 7 lamps are representations of the 7 spirits of Yahweh in Revelation 4:5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Meaning he's perfect. Remember, 7 is perfection. God is perfect. That the Hebrew mindset is saying the 7 spirits of Yah is perfection at the utmost. The cloud and the fire, Numbers 9:15-23. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of the testimony from evening to morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. Boy, that verse really hit me today when I was looking at it. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. Acts 1:9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up. Yeshua was there. He was taken up again. And the cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly up in heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them, one pearl, who also said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up to heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same like manner as you saw him go. Same as the cloud of the tabernacle. See, the Israelites didn't make it to the promised land on their own. Right. They didn't. Moses didn't make it happen. It was completely the will of God. Always remember this pillar of cloud has always been a reminder that the Israelites only made it to the promised land at the single direction of Yahweh.
Right.
They didn't wind up there with their GPS or whatever. He took them there.
Right.
His way. He took them all the way around Saudi Arabia and back up. He did. There's videos on it. They show the tracks in the rocks. The footprints are carved in the rocks all the way around Saudi Arabia. John 10:30. Getting back to one. I and my Father are one. So how, I want to ask theologians, how does the Son come along and take the Father's teachings and say, ignore it? Isn't that number 13, rebellion? He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Nehemiah 9:19. Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The whole time they were complaining, he still didn't forsake them. The pillar of cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light, order, and the way they should go. Why do you think the first church was called the Way? There's too many New Testament verses that talk about Scripture. And the Scripture they were talking about was the Tanakh. Complaining. Nothing. Numbers 11:1-5, 1-15. Now when the people complained, it displeased Yahweh, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. What aroused his anger? Complaining. So the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moshe. When Moshe prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up and there's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. That's kind of like going into a doctor's office and having to wait for an hour, and there's no magazines but a Bible sitting there. Oh, man, I don't have any outdoor life. I don't have smut. I don't have any. I don't have a gun. What's it? All I got is this Bible. What were they telling Yahweh, man? Now the manna was like coriander seed. It was colored like the color of bedlam. Give me a break. Who thought of these words? The people went about and gathered it and ground it on millstones, beat it in a mortar, cooked it in pans, and doing this with Scripture all the time. They're changing it, they're slicing it, they're dicing it. I want to live this way, so take that law of God and make it fit me over here. Guys, figure out a way that I can walk as myself and still have it. Make it look like I'm doing what I'm supposed to. That's what they do. That's what they did. That's what he was saying. He's saying right here, what they're doing to the man is what they're going to do to my word. Change it. Grind it. Beat on it. Fry it. Cook it. Do everything in the world I'm supposed to, but what he said to. Just eat it. Take it off the ground. Yes, touch the dirt. Don't worry. Put it in your mouth and chew it up and swallow it. Simple. Theology has crucified the word to fit many different cultures and many different ways of life and many different transgressions. Man has always tried to change the bread of life. They've cried out for meat. They couldn't handle the meat of the word. Because they couldn't handle what they were doing already. If we are this is for me. If we are to complain about the journey he has us on, then he will allow it to get a lot worse. And you know he does that. The more I squeak, the worse it gets. I ask myself, why do theologians guess at their faith or follow guesses? Why do many believers not like the Old Testament or are despondent towards those who are interested in it? Because many will not want to enter the promised land of the promise. And this promise was given in an Eastern mindset. It's plain and simple. It's not a promise that man made up his way. It's the promise of Yahweh. Yeshua did not come to save our opinion. He didn't come to save our opinion.
Praise God.
Amen. Yeah. I wouldn't have all the... never mind. He didn't come to save our opinion. Yeshua came also to show man that the spirit of the Torah, which was not known at the time. He came to show them the spirit of the Torah. See, I realized yesterday when I was looking at this, he sent his son to force man. We have a choice, but he's to force man to show the same mercy he showed us. That's why he sent his son. To force us to show the same mercy he showed us. And I was telling my wife this. She said, yeah, but we have a choice. Yeah. You can take the sword and you can run it through you, or you can fight with it for him. We have a choice. But we're forced to show the same mercy he showed us. Otherwise, his words, the words of Jesus, the words of Yeshua, aren't that strong to us if we don't show the same mercy he showed us. This Haftarah was very powerful, and I encourage everyone to read it. Yeah. It's very strong. And it's confused a lot of people that haven't come into the fullness of the word. Zechariah 2:11. Many nations will be joined to Yahweh. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. And I will dwell in your midst. Now remember, he said, I will take Israel out of all the nations. Remember, he said that? And he says right here, they shall become my people and I will dwell in their midst. Can we drop that back down again, please? Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. Meaning, there's a transformation that's going to take place. Fellow Ami, they were not his people, but through the Ruach Kadesh, the Holy Spirit, they become his people. And he pulls them out. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. This is a good piece of scripture. I want to encourage everybody with the Holy Spirit, sit down and read this. And it's Zechariah 2:10 through 4:7. Or just read all the four. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says Yahweh. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. And I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Then he showed me Yehoshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. The teaching of peace. That's what Yerushalayim means. The teaching of peace. The Lord has chosen the teaching of peace. Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Yehoshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Jehoshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have charge of my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Yeshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for these are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch, the Nazarene. See, Nazar in Hebrew is branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Yehoshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will abide his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Now the angel who talked with me came back and walked, waking me, as a man who is waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold, with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps and seven pipes to the lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, what are these, Lord, my Lord? And the angel talked to me with me, answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by my might, nor by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Zerubbabel. This is a word I put on here this morning. Zerubbabel. Sown in Babylon. You know, this could be called several ways. When our English is horrible when it comes to the Hebrew, Zerubbabel is not Zerubbabel, because it's Zara is seed, Babel is Babylon. Zerubbabel, sown in Babylon. His name is probably this because he was born in Babylon and was brought back. They came back. They had issued a decree that everyone could go back to their original religions, and many returned back to Israel. But also in the spiritual, Zerubbabel, also as us in Babylon. Our whole mindset, Hellenistic view of seeing things, we've been so Hellenized, is originally out of Babylon. The way of looking at the word. The enemy has been busy. And he has changed so much. He has Babylonized the word. The two olive branches, Zechariah 4:3. I got some. These two olive trees, Hosea 8:14, Yeremahu. Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 11:16-17. These two olive trees are to the two nations. Ezekiel 35:10. These two olive trees are the two chosen families of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33:24. These two olive trees, olive branches, are the two backslidden sisters of Ezekiel 23:2-4. These two olive branches are Zechariah 4:11-14, Jeremiah 11:16-17, These two olive branches are the two sticks in Ezekiel 37, 15 through 28. These are the two witnesses, Revelation 11, 3, 4. The two lampstands, Revelation 11, 3. The two silver trumpets for the whole assembly, Numbers 10, 2 through 3. It goes on and on. There is a principle in the Torah that the lampstand equals one assembly. In Yeshua's ministry, the mystery of Zechariah 4 is finally and fully revealed. This menorah was carried off 70 AD. And I read the eyewitness account of the great parade in Rome on Titus and Vespasian, and all of them showed back up with all their plunder. And it was a huge parade. There was gold, ivory, linens, statues of gods of other nations they'd conquered. They had this parade come down through. They had ships in this parade. They had plunder from nations stacking three and four stories high, and men were carrying it. It was like no other parade ever on the face of this earth. It was huge. It's probably where we get our parades today. But our parades today just float in the air, great big fluffy things. And but they had back then. And amongst this was the biggest prize of all, the temple treasures. And they've got it on the arch in Rome. You can see these Romans carrying this big menorah. The menorah was carried off to Rome. First the physical, then the spiritual. If we are a picture of the menorah, we have been carried off to Rome. We were carried off to Rome a long time ago. We remember the Romans rode up on total chaos in Jerusalem. 1.1 million people died. It was a horrible battle of starvation, of three different factions joining together, of corruptness, fighting till they burnt their own corn supply. And the Romans rode up. You know how these three groups of Yahudim had been together in all things? The Romans would have never destroyed Jerusalem. They wouldn't. They almost lost. Titus was surrounded at one time, almost drug off his horse and killed. He almost didn't make it. Had those three factions that were warring with each other before the Romans came have been in order, the Romans would not have prevailed. They wouldn't have made it. They wouldn't have won. But the destruction came from within. Many people in Israel will tell you this, that study the Torah. They'll tell you. It was Lashon Hara. There was many different forms that destroyed the temple. Same thing that destroys us today is what destroyed Jerusalem. The fighting and the bickering. That's what destroyed the temple. That's what destroys our temple. It's a sign to us. And man has kind of swept it under the rug and just blamed everything on the Romans. When it was us that accepted it. It was us that walked and let ourselves be carried away. We're innocent because of the teachings that have come down through the ages of corruptness. But we want to go forward. We want to go forward. I want to encourage everyone. I brought these verses forward, Yahweh says. Prepare these people with these scriptures of the two houses becoming one and the magnitude of Israel's remnant is going to come out, so that they are prepared to go out. I was talking to Holly, and she was telling me about someone she was talking to in a campground when they went on their trip. And this man, they got into scripture. Everywhere she goes, she talks to somebody, they get into scripture. And she's telling this man that he was of a different religion, one that was born here in the United States. And she was explaining to him about the two sticks of Ezekiel 37. And he said, well, you want to hear our take on it? And she said, your take? She said, we don't look at it as a take, as an opinion. We look at it as, we let Scripture interpret Scripture. And I thought of this morning. I said, my take on it? Man has been taking away from the Word for a long time. My take on it. Did the guy really know what he was saying? My take on this, taking away from the Word or adding to the Word. Doesn't he say something about that?
Yes.
My take on this. Oh, come on, man, you're really grounded. That's exactly what it was, his taking away of the Word. I would encourage everybody, as I read many years ago, that the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. And when you're by yourself, there's a reason for it. Or go get by yourself in the Holy Spirit and study the Word. Look at it as it is a live thing. Study it. Look at it with an open heart. That means when it says, study the Word, I love your precepts with all my heart. I love your scripture with all my heart. It means open heart. Pray. Make fun prayer, as I said before, in studying these things. Look at this piece of Zechariah. It's very powerful, especially when you look at the rest of it too, when it talks about that everybody that ever came against Israel, came against Jerusalem, is going to go celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. That's in the future. Everybody that ever came against the nation of Israel, that came against Jerusalem, is going to come to the mountain and worship the Lord on the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Yahweh is a good God.
Yes.
Praise Him. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we praise your name. We praise your walk. We praise your ways. We praise you. You who have the whole balance of the universe in your mind. We praise you. Give us strength. Walk with us and show us. Bring us people asking questions and speak through us to them. Thank you for your word and your son. I ask this in Yeshua's name, amen.